In the name of one God, Holy Trinity, Amen. One of the things that I love about the parables is oftentimes there's this introductory sentence that identifies to whom Jesus is planning to tell the story, a group of folks who might benefit from listening to what he is about to say. And in our case this morning, the narrator of Luke says, he told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Now, if that doesn't sound like a fun group of folks to preach to, then I don't know who is. But these introductory lines give us a little insight into the scene or the context of Jesus's teaching and preaching. I suppose this morning we can all breathe deeply and relax, because as Luke's narrator told us, Jesus is speaking to those self-righteous, judgy folks over there on the other side of the church. Not us cool folks over here on this side of the church. There's nothing, you see, for us cool folks to learn, but we'll listen, right? Because it might be entertaining to see Jesus burn that self-righteous, judgy crowd. That's certainly the point here, unless it's not. And then following this strong introductory sentence, we have this story about two men. One, the senior warden of the parish and delegate to diocesan convention, a leader in the church. The other, an Icon Pass salesman from Colorado. The senior warden does his thing and his prayers aloud in church on Sunday morning. Thanks be to God that I'm such a capable leader in our parish and the vestry meetings go smoothly and that I vote for all the right things at diocesan convention. People love me. God loves me. And I've even already prepaid my pledge for the next year. The prayers of the Icon Pass salesman from Colorado are different. God, I feel so alone. I don't even know what I'm doing up here in Wyoming. I don't have any friends, and everyone blames me for the long lift lines. Thank God for the scanners at the resort, because I can hide my pass from the rest of the folks at the village. I'm no good at all. I'm just not. Help me, God. What have I gotten myself into? I might be paraphrasing a bit here, but those are the two scenarios that Jesus puts before us, at least for the most part. And I know none of us cool folks here in church this morning have ever found ourselves feeling isolated and alone, feeling as though we've taken the wrong path, or that our inattention to our lives or our future has placed us in a precarious or painful place. But we cool folks can empathize with the poor soul Icon Pass salesman from Colorado. We can. Even as we high-five the senior warden as he comes through the doors of the church. And then the story turns again, because Jesus reminds us, all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. We hear a lesson Jesus is intending to deliver, but with his words, maybe because of the formality of the language, or maybe because the fact that the sentence is from the Bible, or maybe because the language feels pretty religious, or maybe there are other reasons, but we might miss it. We might miss what Jesus is really trying to tell us, something important, something about how we live, how we embody God's love in the world, how we all work together for the good. It's hidden. It doesn't seem like it's hidden, but it's hidden, I believe. Let me say what I'm trying to say differently. I don't believe Jesus is scolding anyone here. Or I don't believe Jesus is scolding anyone here because he's frustrated and he's just had it. I don't believe a good talking to from Jesus is just what this guy needs. I don't believe that because I know the lover that Jesus is. I believe what he's trying to do is demonstrate reality for us, saying, here it is. This is how it seems the world works, he's saying. But if you think the winner in this picture is the senior warden and the loser is the Icon Pass salesman, let me encourage you to look at life from a different point of view, Jesus is asking us. What I'm trying to do is take us off the winners and losers track and get us down to the real point, he seems to be saying. The real question put before us today, you could say every day, but the real question put before us today, I think, is how are you living your life? What are the measuring sticks or the metrics we might use to evaluate our success or our well-being or our human flourishing? What factors do we use to evaluate or to inform what we consider success? That's what I believe Jesus is really talking about. He's talking about the good life. But in talking about the good life, he wants to be sure we're all on the same page when it comes to what he thinks the good life is. Jesus knows those of us who are a part of religious communities, especially ones that are vibrant and healthy. He wants us to know that just because we're religious doesn't mean we're living the good life. Just because we say our prayers or we have fancy robes or poetic language or strong hymnody or historic and beautiful buildings, you know, that's not what it's all about. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Of course, we're loved, no matter what. But a life of faith, or a life of living into our inherent belovedness, is really about the care we extend to others and the treatment we give ourselves as God's beloved. Jesus is looking for and toward the soft-hearted as partners, always. Soft-hearted people like Frank, who we said goodbye to on Friday. Soft-hearted people are strong advocates, but not strong advocates for themselves. Strong advocates for those who are struggling. Even though we might read it in this way, this story isn't about winners and losers. And it's not about some surprise ending or some Jesus gotcha moment either, because all of us, or at least the vast majority of us, but all of us are already so turned off by those people who insist upon tooting their own horns, by folks who lack any semblance of humility. Jesus already knows that we have some sense of that surface lesson. So we ask ourselves, what's underneath this all? What's lying underneath it? I believe Jesus is asking us to imagine how things might go differently. What if that morning in church looked different? What if that senior warden saw his role as servant, as pastor, as listener, as helper? What if all that he had, all that he earned, and all that God provided him gave him a remarkable sense of security and a wonderful sense of gratitude? What if finally, having the things that in the first half of life that bring us that sense of security, what if in the second half of life, he was devoted to the other? What if he made the move from mastery to servanthood, and his church was able to benefit from his growth and his learning and his deepening maturity? What if he didn't speak out his prayers in church at all on a Sunday morning, but rather came in and calmed himself so that he might listen? On that morning, what if he had heard the pain and the isolation of the Icon Pass salesman? What if he had moved across the church that morning and he had simply said, "Hey man, I'm Lawrence. I heard your prayer. Sounds like you're having a rough spell. I want to listen." Church, I don't have to spend 1 second of time telling you how that morning would change. What I can tell you is that I believe with all humility and all sincerity that you, church, are on the very verge of becoming just this kind of loving community. Of becoming the kind of loving community that Jesus was seeking and seeking to grow and to nurture with his generous teaching and his care and his attention. And we have had some good shepherds to show us the way too, haven't we? I'm thinking again of Frank Johnson, that soft-hearted blesser. Our work ahead is as clear as it ever gets in the kingdom. We cover this valley with love, like snow covers it in the winter time. And I can tell you what I see. I see the love piling up outside our windows and our doors. And I hope soon enough that we'll need a plow to move it around. Y'all keep up this good love work. Amen.